So I'm Michelle Larkin. I'm really happy to be here today to talk to you about re-envisioning a future for our nation, in particular how we all move towards a culture of health. To kick us off, I'm hoping that this plays. What a magic button!
The zip code is 5 numbers. It's meant to get mail to people, not say how long they'll live. But all too often, that's exactly what a zip code does. Millions of Americans actually live sicker and shorter lives than others just a few miles away. Some of us are likely to live 25 years less, or be 3 times more likely to have a heart attack, all because of where we live. A zip code is 5 numbers that can predict whether we are likely to suffer a preventable illness and influence how safe we feel in our neighborhood. A zip code is 5 numbers that says a lot about the kind of schools kids go to, whether we get daily exercise, our access to healthy food, and quality health care. America's future depends on the health of all Americans, which is why the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation cares about where we live, learn, work, and play, because that is where health happens.
So, what was wrong with that picture when you look at the zip codes? We shouldn't be having that kind of disparity in this nation. So over the last year and a plus, the foundation's been doing a lot of thinking about what we focus on. Healthcare coverage is absolutely important. Having access to quality, affordable healthcare, absolutely important. But in large part, what drives our health are those things that happen outside of the medical office. And so we've actually been making the rounds and talking about a culture of health for our nation that enables everyone in our diverse society to live healthier lives now and for generations to come. And that word culture sort of stuck for a little bit with us because we thought, well, what does that mean? Because the culture that I grew up with, Irish Polish, is very different probably from the culture that you grew up with. The culture of my community may be very different from the culture of the community where you're raising your families. But the point here is that it's about coming together to think about how we can co-create what that means for our nation, what that means for our communities, and what that means for our families. What it means for us at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is that everybody has access to affordable, quality health care. It means that no one's excluded because they have chronic conditions or because of other challenges. It means that everyone raises, whether you're an individual or raising your family, that you live in a community that allows you the opportunity to make healthy choices and to live a healthier life. That it shouldn't depend on your zip code whether or not you have that opportunity. So how do we get there? What do we do to really engage people and get them to understand and step out of the silos that we so often function in, right? One of the ways that we've been doing it is over the last 5 years working with the University of Wisconsin on the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps Initiative. And this is a sample of the model, which I hope everybody in the back can read. And what it does is it illustrates for people within health and outside of health the multiple factors that go into how long we live and how well we feel when we're doing it. Because at the end of the day, most of us don't really, at least I don't think, I really want to be healthy today. I think I want a quality life. I want to be able to spend time with my family. I want to be able to age in place and feel that I'm supported by my community. And I think what this has done over the last 5 years, it's the beauty of the conversation. It's been able to help people from business, from education, from policymaking, from housing, have a different kind of conversation. And that stimulation of conversation is really what we intended and where we wanted it to start. But it wasn't where we wanted it to stop. Because really, talking is great, but action is what takes the day. And so the Action Center that's part of the County Health Roadmaps initiative really helps people come together and think about the conversation and the action that they need to take. And I'm really taken aback every time I think about the impact of this scorecard and ranking and the press that it gets every year when it's released, and how the stories have changed over the last 5 years from being about the problem, X County rates at the bottom of the list and we're not surprised because they have all these problems, to being about the solutions and X County's in the bottom third or at last, but here's the progress that they've made bringing a collaborative leadership team together at the community and those community leaders really working together to assess what their challenges are in their community, to assess what their strengths are in the community, because communities have a lot of strengths that we oftentimes overlook because we're focused on the problem. To think about what's the priority for them and what do they want to really come together around as a collective. And then identifying the evidence-based policies and programs and resources that they can bring together to do that. Because we really believe that that is critical to having that community think differently about the type of community that they want to be. And we've seen this not just in a few communities, but we've seen it in hundreds of communities, and we're coming close to seeing it in thousands of communities because it's spreading that quickly, which we believe is a critical step to creating that culture of health that I talked about a moment ago. Because it's all about catalyzing action, right? So that we can have these kind of pictures in every community across the country, not just in a few. So today I'm going to share with you three stories that for me I think really demonstrate, and I hope for you demonstrate, the role that leadership, networks, and collaboration are playing to build that culture of health, because it's a journey and none of us are there yet. No matter how wonderfully our communities do on that ranking, being number one is not an endpoint. It's an evolution that we all want to continue to raise the bar towards. So the first is the Federal Reserve System, and Beatrice shared a little bit about this a moment ago. In 2009, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation sponsored a commission to build a healthier America. It was a bipartisan commission from folks from multiple sectors, all of the ones that I've talked about already. But what we asked them to do is we asked them to look for solutions and outside of the medical care system to the things that challenge our health. And they were able to do that, and the Federal Reserve saw that, and they thought, wow, this is an opportunity for us to strengthen linkages between housing, finance, schools, and health. It's taking what community development does well and linking it with what health does well, because there's a lot more intersections that are there that we weren't taking advantage of. Because they believe that at the end of the day, their work was really about promoting better health outcome in low-income communities over the life course. And that, I think, is the point for all of us in this room. That's why we work. That's why we're here this week. That's why we do what we do. And they've had these conversations through their Healthy Communities Initiative. They've hosted conversations over the last couple of years focused on connecting community development and health. And they've done it in the ones that are listed here. They're continuing to do that, and they've been a terrific partner with us on that. And they're even thinking differently about how they can invest in the communities to make it clearer how what they invest in related to community development actually impacts health outcomes. And if you haven't seen it yet, yes, I did bring a prop, do check out the Health Affairs November 2014 edition. Because what does beautifully is it's no longer about making the case for why community development and health should be linked. It's about how we actually measure the impact of those two sectors working together and how we see the change coming to reality. So I'd encourage you to take a look at that if you haven't seen it before. The second story I want to share with you is about another partner, the National Association with Counties. And I have to be honest, before 2013, we at the foundation hadn't done a lot of work with them. They are elected county officials, and they have a vast network in communities across the country. They have also been a terrific partner for us. In 2013, they hosted a community health forum, and have started to do that in communities across the country where elected officials have come to them and said, we're really interested in better understanding all of the things that go into our health. Help us to have that conversation. And I want to underscore that it's the elected county official who is leading this and who is promoting it. It is not the health department. It is not NACO going in and saying you have to do this. It is not the county health rankings doing it or the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. It's the local county official who's been elected to serve the people of his community or her community, and they're the ones championing this. And I think that for me, that is a real lesson in tapping into networks that already exist and helping people see that we can leverage existing networks in new and different ways if we make those intersections, those sweet spots, be more visible and be clearer. And NACO's also playing a role in providing materials to the elected officials so that they can consider health in their policy making and really facilitate a learning exchange. And you see here a picture of one of the webinars that they did, which was about their learning exchange so that they could share the best practices that they've been experiencing. And the third story I want to share with you is Spokane County, Washington. Has anybody ever been to Spokane? Oh, good job. It's not so easy to get to, but it's a great place. I had the pleasure of visiting there last year. They are one of our 2014 Culture of Health Prize winners, and they're very proud of that, and we're very thrilled that they chose to share their story with us because it allows us as the foundation to share their story with the nation. So let me tell you about Spokane a little bit. It's a relatively mid-sized city surrounded by this a large rural county. And that is Spokane County is where this initiative took place. In 2006, they had only 60% of their students graduating from high school. They didn't know what was going on. They were following their truancy reporting where if you had 5 unexcused absences, you'd be reported, and then there would be an intervention. Well, they thought something is wrong here because we're not catching many of these kids and helping them to graduate. So they actually went through and created an early warning system, which if you have a chance to explore this data set and this dashboard, please do. It's excellent. And what they've done is they've been able to track over time and in real time student absences, unexcused absences. And they discovered that for their community, the sweet spot is 2 to 3 unexcused absences, which usually happens in middle school. And that's the time when they knew that they had to intervene. So what they did is when they had that happen, when the red warning flag went out, they referred the child and the family to community attendance support teams that they had created. And those support teams had educators, community members, business leaders, social service agencies, including the health department and housing. And they explored with the child, what's going on here, and the family. Was it transportation? We heard that a minute ago, like getting to school, is that why you're always late? Was it unstable housing? Was it that your parents lost their job and you're having to get a job yourself and so you can't go to school? And then what they did is they came together and re-engaged the student and the family in solving those problems, and it really brought the community together. From there, they were able to increase their graduation rates. Does anybody want to guess what it is now? Shout it out. 80%. That is a huge increase and pretty remarkable. And I want to say the leadership for this initiative, the education system is working on it, the health system is working on it separately. The leadership for this of bringing everybody together really came from Priority Spokane, which was their business community, essentially their chamber of commerce, because they were bringing in businesses. But they didn't have the workers to be able to fill the positions that were coming in, and they were seeing more and more young people either in low-paying jobs, not being able to fill the high-demand jobs, or moving out of Spokane to go to school and not coming back. And that's not what they wanted. They wanted Spokane to be that healthy, vibrant community where we all want to live. And so through their STEM network, their science, technology, engineering, and math network, they actually started having conversation with businesses and to understand what were the high-demand jobs and high-paying jobs so that they could start thinking about what skills the kids needed to develop. And then they had a conversation with the kids to say, what are you interested in? Where's your passion? What do you think you want to do? Where's the match? And that STEM network invested resources in training and education to be able to match the education system and the curriculum to those high-demand, high-paying jobs for the future. Pretty ingenious when you think about increasing the amount of resources that are in a community, both human and financial, to continue to reinvest it in that. And Spokane's a great example of getting that better education equals better health equals a longer quality life. Now I'm getting to my last point, which is that these three stories for me illustrate how a vision coupled with leadership, collaboration, leveraging of networks can really influence and inspire some really interesting changes. If you had asked me 10 years ago if I thought the Federal Reserve would be talking about health and rethinking about how it's not just about investing in housing, but it's investing in places and communities where people live and want to raise a family, or that business would today be talking about early childhood and the importance of investing in early childhood education because they view it as their future workforce and their future consumer base and their future innovators, I think you would have had a hard time convincing me of that, but that's what we're seeing now. So I'll close with the culture of health. I hope I've given you a sense of what it is, but I hope I've also helped you understand that by pulling together leadership, collaboration, and networks, we can actually take that very important, not first step, but that continuing journey down the path towards a healthier nation, which I know for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and for many of you in this room, that's what we are about. How do we live that quality life that we've all dreamed about, and how do we make sure that everyone in our community has the opportunity to do so? So thank you, and I'm going to turn it over to Shariki, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.